That guy, Dan, there is my name. And it means God is my judge. God is judge. That's always scared me. But that's what the name Daniel means, or Dan. And he's an Old Testament prophet. And he wrote way beyond 1,000 years ahead of where he was. And I'm going to read you chapter 12, starting with verse 1. And what you're looking at here in Daniel 12, 1 is a prophecy of the tribulation and even going on into the millennium, Jewish and Gentile. Daniel 12, look at verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. That's the great tribulation. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. That's the great tribulation. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. God's going to deliver his people during that time. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, the resurrection will be at the end of the tribulation, the second resurrection. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. People's always said, well, how's them people that's rotted and they ain't nothing but dirt, how's their going body? He'll put their body back together. It'll reassemble. You say, well, that's impossible. He done it the first time. I mean, it made out of nothing. He can make it come back together. Verse number 3. Here's your soul winning verse. Every Christian in 2012, I'll mention in a minute, should be a soul winner. And they that be wise shall make a lot of money. Nope. They that be wise shall get a big education. Nope. They that be wise shall buy a nice house. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You want to be wise and shine in glory? Get you some people and get them to church and get them saved. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. There's that end in Matthew 24 when it said, he that shall endure to the end. The end of the tribulation. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That's talking about the last day. Now I'm going to stop right there. And I want to preach this morning on the world in 2012. We're living in a different world than what our parents, and especially our grandparents and great-grandparents, grew up in. We are the first generation ever to see the world the way it is now. The world has changed so much. And I'm telling you, that's why I fuss at you all the time. Get your kids, teach them the Bible. If the world changes as much in the next 20 as it did in the past 20, you won't even be allowed to do this probably in those days that your kids are grown. The old days, they had no electricity, no telephone, no TV, no internet, no computer. You lived out in the country somewhere, and many people never traveled 50 or 100 miles beyond where they were born. They knew nothing about other countries. They married the old girl down the road and raised a family and had them some land and built them a house and done just like their fathers did. That's the way it's always been. There's never been a time when the whole world's just been interconnected. And everybody knows everybody and everybody's busy. Listen, you can get in a fight or do something, and it's all over the world before you're done. People watching it live. Somebody's got a camera on you. It's a different world that we live in this morning. People used to never even hear. When the war was going on years ago, people would wait for months to hear the news of a battle, whether we won or whether we lost. Now, you can sit on TV and watch a war as it happens. And the news media has got so jaded in the way they think, that they, oh man, this is bad, this is good, this makes good people want to watch this. It's a crazy world. And if you're not careful, you'll just get swept away with the world's way of thinking, the world's way of acting, the world's way of talking. And that's why we have church. And that's why, because church and Bible preaching slaps you back in line. You get out of line, it slaps. You don't even realize how far you get off until you hear Bible preaching and it helps you out. Now let me say three things this morning about the world in 2012. This is just the way it is. There are today in our country, in this country, 4,400 abortions a day. That's over 1,000 more people killed than was killed on 9/11. We make a big deal out of 9/11. They showed that thing 1,000 times. They knocked the buildings down. People died. 3,000 people died. That was bad. I hate it. I mean, I didn't know anybody there or anything, but I know it grieved and still does the hearts of those people. But we are sanctioning the murder of 4,400 little babies every single day. 4,400 a day. I'll say it again. 4,400 a day. Do you know how many that is a week? 31,000 babies a week are being murdered. I'll not argue with you this morning. If you believe it the other way, go buy you a building and get you a crowd of people and tell them whatever you want to. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You listen to me, you hear me today? Listen, when God put that baby inside of a mother, it has its own heartbeat, it has its own brain, it has its own circulatory system, blood vessels, it has its own personality. John the Baptist kicked in his mother's womb when the news of Jesus was brought to him. In the Bible, there is no doubt about it. We're in an election year, and you're going to hear that brought up about, and you watch them candidates wiggle. You watch them wiggle, and they'll say, well, I believe a woman has the right to choose, but I believe, you know why? Because you can't talk straight and get elected. It's impossible. It's impossible for a man. If a man takes a strong stand for morality, you want me to tell you how bad the world is in 2012? If a man says, I don't think you should kill your baby, and I think a marriage should be between a man and a woman, he has no chance of being elected in this country. Listen, 100 years ago, it was the other way around. A man that believed that had no chance of being elected. He could not get elected. But we're living in a time of wickedness. It's nothing to turn your TV on now. On regular TV, I'm not talking about pay channels. I'm just regular, the basic, say, sorriest channels they are, and see shows of men living together and people coming to visit them, making it normal in our lives and in our heart. I said 31,000 a week. 31,000 a week. 31,000 a week. That's 1.5 million per year. The scariest place a baby can be in America today is in his mother's womb. The most dangerous place in the world for a baby is in his mother's womb now. 1.5 billion kids a year. These are little kids that'll never get to grow up, never come to Sunday school, never eat ice cream, never play out in the yard, never have a chance to do anything for God, never murdered by the hands of an abortion doctor, paid for by the boyfriend or somebody who chalked up the money. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way this world is. Alcohol use is flowing like water, and people think nothing about drinking. Listen, there was a time in this country when you couldn't even buy alcohol legal. Now it's like everything, it's a normal, everybody does it, no big deal. Yet God still says the same thing, and God's never changed his mind, and God's never said, drugs is the same way, mind-altering drugs. You got kids nowadays, 15, 16, will grab every pill they can get and swallow it. If it's a pill, they'll swallow it. It might be dog heart medicine, but they'll take it. They'll take anything to try to get a buzz. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never see the day like we're living in today. Rock and roll music, I was talking about last night. The hypocrisy blows my mind. They got that guy down yonder in in Florida who was going to burn the Koran, and there's some preacher down there going to burn the Koran. And it got on the news, and it got on there, which he was probably a nut, and I'm not saying he was right, but he was going to burn the Koran, and they were all taking a fit and got a letter from President Obama or a statement, and they was on the news. It was on every single station. Oh, that man's awful. He's full of hate. How could he do that? He should be more tolerant and all that. Let me tell you something. Marilyn Manson stands on the stage and takes Bible pages and rips them out like that and throws it out, and they kick it, they spit on the Bible and everything else, and nobody says one word. You know what that is? Hypocrisy. That's a double standard. Bill O'Reilly ought to take a fit. Amen. I mean, they ought to have him on there saying, I can't believe these rock singers mock God, talk about Jesus Christ. If you talked about Muhammad like they talk about Jesus, you'd be in a lawsuit. I mean, brother, your house would be burned down. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the world we're living in now. I saw something the other day, and I never watch talk shows. I can't stand them. If I watch a talk show, I'm ready to fight. I'm little, but I'm so... That's the way I get. It drives me crazy. I can't stand it. It's like the ones in charge and the ones talk... Damn, none of them know what's going on. And sometimes you wonder who's the dumbest. The talk show host, do they act dumb to try to get people to watch? I don't know. But it's always something. Well, I seen this one the other day. I was getting ready for church, and I flipped on the TV, and I usually put it on the news or on the Sun Life broadcasting, listen to some guys preach. And I had it on there. They had a talk show. And there's a show now, I'm sure all you girls are familiar with it. Very popular in America right now. It's called Dance Moms. And these dance moms are these dumb old women. They're not really old, but they're dumb. And they have their little girls in there. How many are familiar with that show I'm talking about? I don't know if I'd raise my hand if I was you. But anyway, that's your favorite show? I see not yet. Okay, whatever. But anyway, here's what it is. These little girls are about 8 or 9 years old, about that high. And these moms take them to this big studio, and this mean old, hateful old witch of a woman is in charge of it. And she's going to make professional dancers out of these little girls. And they took these little girls, and there's about 5 of them. And let's just say here's little Jada, and here's little Jada, and here's little Caitlin, and here's little Bonnie, and here's little Susie, and all that. And they get in there, and they got these little girls who are only like 9 or 10 years old, and they're like this. They got on more makeup than Tammy Faye wore in her prime. They glued eyelashes on them like that. 9 years old, brother. Made them look like professional prostitutes. And out there, they got on little bikinis and stuff. Now we wonder how come we got pedophiles, and we wonder how come there's so much child rape, and we wonder, and we parade little girls across there. And mama said, oh, God, oh, baby, oh, if you can just make it big. And these little girls are doing this, and they're turning around like that, and they're doing little dances, and here's the old sergeant, what I called her. Lord have mercy, that woman was mean. And she'd go around and she'd say, no, now you're not doing good. That's terrible. And she blesses them out. She is the hatefulest, meanest, grouchiest, old bad word that you can ever imagine. I mean, she is awful. I mean, this woman, she's horrible. She's terrible. I was sitting there, and these little old girls, they had them crying. She said, now you can do better than that. She said, but mommy. And the mama takes the side of the old grouch and says, yes, you can do better. Yes, you can do better. And the little girl says, okay. And they have on this TV show, and they're saying, we've got to push them. They have potential. They can make it big. We got to push them. I wanted to go over there and just pop her like a big balloon, let the air out of her. She'd have went around the room like a balloon if I'd have popped her. I'm telling you, it's a sad day when we celebrate people. Let me tell you people something here this morning. Hold on your seatbelts, okay? It might get a little rough here in just the next couple of seconds. If that was the other way around, let's just say that was a religious movement. Let's just say they were teaching them kids the Bible. Let's just say, and he showed them on TV, you learned this verse. You learned this verse. Now you say it again. But mommy, I'm sleepy. Just learn it. They would have been branded as a cult. It would have been on every news channel. They'd have said these people, these kids ought to be taken away. And yet we make movie stars out of these idiots. I'm telling you this morning, the world in 2012 is going the wrong way. How could she have the most popular show in America right now? She's a cult leader. You see the double standard? What if we had kids and mamas had them out there 5 days a week beating the Bible into their heads? You can do better. You say that verse. You have to work on this thing, Roy. I've been hunting you for 2 weeks. I got gone last Sunday before I could get you out of here, get it to you. What if we took those kids and we said, now you can do better. And would you let somebody talk to your kid like that? I would. Somebody got one of my girls down and said, you can do better, you can do better. I'd say, you can do better by dying. Whatever. You old mean thing. A kid can be bent. You don't. Now you know what their mama's problem is? Mama's a flop and she's done past 35. And she's trying to live her life through that little girl. And make that little girl what she always wanted to be. And making the kid feel guilty because the kid wants to please her mama. Sad. It's sad. They're warping them little old young'uns' personality. They make them think, listen, parents, all you parents give me attention just a second. Whatever you push your kids to think's important is what they think's important. If you push them to say, God, Jesus, church, Bible, God, that's what they're going to grow up thinking. You say, well, my kids like sports. And I can tell you why. Because you do. They say, well, Daddy likes it, it must be great. Mama likes it, it must be great. I'm telling you this morning, kids can be pushed. And you better push them toward God. If you don't, you'll be calling me one of these days saying they're on drugs, they're in trouble, they're up. And you'll say, listen, many parents gripe because the stream is bitter when they put the poison in way back up the stream somewhere. I saw an activity bus the other night going home late, going up interstate, one of the high schools. It was about 11 o'clock at night on a school night. What if that's church? What if it was church and we took the kids to a church activity and got them home at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night? Take a fit, wouldn't you? I'm just going to jerk. No, I can't believe they've done this. Not, my kid's not going. But it's a ball game. It's all right, ain't it? We're a bunch of idol worshipers. Say amen right there. Say amen, Brother Danny. You're saying it right. You're telling it right this morning. Listen, brother, that's the world in 2012. Let me move on quickly this morning. Now, what are we going to do? Save people. What do we ought to be doing? We ought to be letting our light shine. Get busy. Everybody's heard about Tim Tebow this past week, the young quarterback, 24 years old, for the Morgan and Wildcat. Who is it? Denver Broncos? You have to forgive me. I've never watched a football game in my life. Not a whole one. I think I might have watched most of the Super Bowl one time years ago. Football just don't interest me. It's too slow. They stop way too much. It's impersonal. You can't tell who they are. It's not fair. Some man play the whole game, don't even get to touch the ball. And basketball was like that the other night. Oh, better shut up. Play with some people, you don't get to touch it in basketball. But anyway, I ain't calling no names. But they sitting this. But in football, them guys play the whole blessed game and don't even get to touch it. Don't even get to touch the ball. That ain't right. Get your brains beat out the whole for 3 hours. I'm going to go touch it one time. I'm going to say, throw it to me. Let me see what I can do with it. They get down there and bust their brains out the whole time. And then who they interview after it's over? The quarterback. He ain't got no mud on him. So therefore, I ain't crazy over football. But It also could mean, the reason I don't like football is because I'm so little. But I'm going to tell you something. Dynamite comes in little packages. But listen, you hear me this morning. Oh, Tim Tebow, I got to hearing about him. And you know what? His verse is John 3:16. And he puts it on his face or something like that. So every time the camera shows on it, that's a good idea. Thank God the boy's got enough guts to stand up for Jesus. And every time they interview him, the first thing he says is, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's got it right. He don't get up and say, I thank God. No, God can be anything. I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's telling it right. That's what a man ought to stand up for. So he's got my respect. I respect him. And he lives right. They claim he lives a good Christian life, and he tries to do right. And that last game, did y'all see them statistics? It was wild. Tex was going all over the country. He threw 316 yards, 316, 10 yards each, 31.6, 316. And it was wild. And everybody said, the Lord did it. And I knew he was going to lose last night. That always happens. Every time, pride goes for destruction, haughty spirit before fall. So I knew they'd lose last night. God ain't interested in football. He can just he can flip it this way or that way or trip somebody or whatever. I've seen him tip it in, man. I've seen a ball going in the basket like that and it coming out and then it goes back up and goes in. I said, Lord, did you do that? I don't know if he did or not. Sometimes it's for us. Sometimes it's against us. I don't know. I don't know if God fools with stuff like that or not. But I know one thing. The world eat that boy up. They said old Bill Maher sent him a tweet or whatever, an email or something that said, where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? The answer to that fool is, Jesus is the same place he's always been. Sitting on the throne, going to judge him one of these days. You mark my words, they'll chew that guy and spit him out. This world hates somebody that'll stand for Jesus Christ. They hate it. They have no use for it. The world hates a preacher that they can't control. The world hates me this morning because I will not let them tell me what I can say and what I can't. By the grace of God, we ought to stand for the Lord and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard of Carl Hatch? Oh, Carl Hatch is one of the greatest personal soul winners this country's ever seen. And one of the sad things about a lot of you younger Christians is you're coming up in a generation that didn't get to hear and see Lester Roloff and Jack Hiles and Billy Kelly and Maze Jackson and all them guys. You're really getting cheated. You need to get on your internet if you like so much and hear them guys preach. Dr. Harold Sattler, Bob Jones Sr. Not this modern, not their kids and grandkids. They couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag. Get them old men that knew God and knew it the hard way and built something. You don't want a man that just steps into wealth. Listen to somebody who's built something from the ground up, who worked on the farm when they was little. Slave, brother. And listen, them old men went through trial, had their life threatened. They can tell you something. They can tell you something worth hearing. And old Carl Hatch was at the UN building, United Nations building up in New York. And son, he was standing up out there, giving out tracts like this. Good morning. How are you today? Good morning. How are you, sir? Jesus loves you. Good morning. Good morning. And finally, it got on their nerves, and the security guard came over here, and he said, you stop that right now. He said, why am I doing something wrong? He said, it's against the law. And Brother Hatch said, well, okay. If it's against the law, I won't do it. He said, thank you. He said, is it against the law to read? He said, no, I don't reckon. He said, okay. So the guy goes back over there. He starts reading the tract loud. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave you about 15 minutes of that. The guard came back over and said, just pass them out. Just pass them out. Amen. Amen. He didn't want to go with it. But listen, I'm glad the boy had enough guts to be a witness. You go to college? You got enough guts to witness? I know what your problem is. You say, boy, if I tell them that, then they're all going to be watching me and I can't party. And they're going to, yeah, I know that's your problem. You won't take no stand. All the Lord did is die for you, but you won't take a stand for him. You work in a business? Are you being a witness? Are you using your position to be a witness for Jesus Christ? He's the one that gave it to you, and he's the one that can take it away. I'm telling you, listen, the saved people ought to be busy. Saved people ought to be busy. Listen, some of you folks here this morning, God bless you. I love you. But you lay around all week long, won't crack your Bible, won't bow your knee to pray, won't hit a lick for God, don't say one word for God, and then stagger in here Sunday morning like you're doing God a favor by showing up on Sunday morning. It's a privilege to come in here and honor the God of heaven this morning. Saved people ought to be busy. Saved people ought to be busy. Let me say one other thing and I'm done. For the lost, what should they do in 2012? You better run to Jesus Christ as fast as you can run. Back in 1947, the atomic scientist in Chicago created a doomsday clock. Has anybody in here ever heard of the famous doomsday clock? It's not a real clock. It's a clock face. And all the atomic scientists in the world created it in 1947. Did you know last week they moved the hand to 5 minutes to midnight? Midnight meaning the end of the world, Holocaust, world blows up. And the atomic, they're not Christians. They created the doomsday clock. And every time the world gets about ready to blow up, they'll move that hand. And they have moved it back a time or two. It's been moved 20 times. And last week, January the 10th, they moved the doomsday clock to 5 minutes to midnight. That means global disaster could be imminent. What they're saying is, the way the world is, the unrest, the nuclear threat, and everything, it's 5 minutes to midnight. If you're here this morning, you're a teenager, and you're not saved, get saved today. If you're here this morning, you're a man, come on a bus or something, get saved today, 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 not tomorrow. Get saved today. Don't wait. Don't wait till you feel something. Get saved today. You're going to feel something a lot worse if you don't. Don't wait till that terrible happen. Get saved today. You don't know how much longer you've got. You know what? Everybody in here that's not saved is holding on to something. They say they built these little things, these little cages. And in Africa, they're trying to trap these monkeys, and they catch these monkeys. And what they do is they build these cages, and they put nuts in there. And the monkey comes, and he sees the food in there, and he puts his hand in there and grabs a handful of them nuts. But when he can't pull it out because the hole's so little, and he will not let go of them nuts. Will not. He don't have enough sense to realize that they're going to, and he stays there holding on to them nuts while they come and trap him and put him in a cage and in a zoo somewhere. And I'm telling you, that's the way so many people are today. They're holding on to that party, holding on to that lifestyle, holding on to that sin, and they realize that they're running out of time and the devil's got them. Takes them to hell. I don't know what you're holding on to. You're a fool if you let this thing run out. We're in 2012. Preachers used to preach, we could be in a tribulation by now. I hadn't even scratched the surface of what's going on in this world. The one world government I preached on a few weeks ago. You wouldn't believe the response I've got out of that sermon. Some guy from Texas has been sending me stuff. People getting hold of that stuff, I mean, all over the country. Do you know why factories and plants and something, it's the environmental movement. They don't want you to spill no grease on the ground. And let me see if I can say this right. The people who are really behind the global warming environmental movement, they don't really care about the temperature. Their goal is to reduce America to work just like all the other countries in the world. To destroy our nation's sovereignty and wealth. And listen, I'm not just talking. There are people working frantically right now to undermine the freedom and the wealth that we have here in America. They're saying, you know what one of the leaders said? They said, if you lower gas prices and make gas cheap so everybody can buy it, that's the absolute worst thing could happen to the planet. They say, we've got to raise gas prices to shut America down so people will quit driving and they'll stop industries. Listen, they're working against us, people. America can't be destroyed from without. It's going to be destroyed from within. And it's 2012. We better pray. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, let me ask you something. What good is it going to do to wait another week or another week or another week or another week? What good is it going to do you to wait another month or it ain't going to be no easier next week than it is this week. It ain't going to be no easier next year than it is this year. Let's get it settled. It's 2012. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eyes closed. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. Run to Jesus. Run. Don't walk. Run. Don't wait another second. I'm telling you, He's got your life in His hands. He's got your life in His hands. He can take it anytime He wants to. Is there someone here this morning? Say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'll be honest with you, I ain't been living like I need to live. And I want you in this church to pray for me this morning that God will have mercy on me and help me. Would you slip up your hand? Slip up your hand. I need prayer. God bless you. Hands all over the building. Hands all over the building. All over the building. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's someone here this morning say, Brother Danny, I'm not saved. I don't want to go to hell. It's 2012. Time running out. The world in 2012, it's a different world than we lived in 50 years ago, even 20 years ago. It's a different world. Please pray for me. Some's coming. Some's getting out of their seat and coming right now. Come on. Please pray for me. Would you be here this morning and say, Brother Danny, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Raise your hand, sir. Mom, Dad, raise it. Just slip it up. Take it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you. Slip it up. Take it right back down. Anywhere in the building right now. Slip it up, take it right back down. Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't want to go to hell. I see your hand, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Right quick. I see your hand, honey. Anybody else? Right quick. Raise it up. Don't be too proud. Don't go to hell because you're proud. Come to Jesus before it's too late. Will you do it? Will you do it? May God help you. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Save that one which is lost. Have your way in our hearts. We'll praise you and thank you for it, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Just get out of your seat. If you raised your hand, come on, let's pray. Come on. Come on right now. Let's pray. Amen. 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 You let the Lord help you this morning. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come right now. Come on. Come on. Right now. Amen. Come on, right now, come on. It's 2012, people. It's a different world. It's a different world. Thee, O Lamb. Come on, right now, come on. God, I come. Say it now. Let's sing. Everybody, everybody, come on now. Just as sing it now. To rid my soul of one. Will you come? Will you come this morning? Come on, friend. Come on. Listen. It's going to be too late one of these days. It's going to be too late one of these days. Behold, now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Sing it now. Let's sing. Everybody, sing it again, brother. Let's sing. Everybody. Just as I am, I will receive. Amen. Will wear. Amen. Upon the cleansed release. Amen. Because thy promise. Amen. Hey man, we're at the danger point. We're at the danger point. I'm gonna get some stuff to show y'all maybe here in a few weeks what's going on in this country. You say, preacher, that scares me. Well, something ought to wake us up, get us out of our comfort zone, get us right with God. Something gonna have to. You know what most churches want to do? Just sleep right through it. Wake me when it's over. God's called us to be alarm clock. And ain't nobody likes alarm clock. Amen. But it keep you from getting fired. Literally. Amen. All right. Amen. So I'm still praying this morning. Alicia, have you got your baby over there? Hold that thing up there. A lot of people hadn't seen it. Where's it? See that little brand new one?